then it was used, Norman Mailer used it in his novel Naked and the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disguised as Motherfugger, F-U-G-G-E-R.
No one knew to this day. People still wonder.
Right.
It was disguised, cleverly hidden,
and
behind two G's.
In Kurt...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
It's Mother's Day?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. With great enthusiasm, we say Happy Mother's Day to all y'all motherfuckers out there.
Yes, Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, no. Seriously, if you're a good mom, Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, but for the rest of you.
If you like your mom, Happy Mother's Day. Great. Good for you.
And if you call someone mom and they're not your biological mom, Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, Happy Mother's Day.
You know, sometimes it takes a village.
That's right. It does.
All right, so what do you have for Mother's Day?
Oh, for Mother's Day, first I have, like, animal moms. Let's do animal news for Mother's Day.
All right, so this is Barnyard Mother News.
Yes.
So this is for Barnyard Mothers.
Yeah, right.
Mothers in the barnyard and mothers out of the barnyard.
That's barnyard news.
Mother news.
So these are a couple of incredible animal moms.
Okay.
Who go the distance. So they need to get like a little bit of a shout out.
So they always pack the lunch, but then they show up at school and they're the chaperone.
Right.
That kind of person.
Okay. Yes. So the orangutan is a really good mom. Apparently the bond between an orangutan mother and her young is one of the strongest in nature.
Okay, like physically? Like he can't get away?
Because of the first 2 years of life, the young rely entirely on the mother for both food and transportation.
Mm-hmm, that's us too.
Yeah.
All right.
Moms stay with their young for 6 to 7 years, teaching them where to find food and how to eat and the technique for building a sleeping nest.
Okay, that must be some really heavy stuff to do that for 5 years.
I know.
That's a long time.
And the female orangutans are known to visit their mothers until they reach the age of 15 or 16.
Okay, because they have to. It's like every Sunday. It's like an exodus of just disgruntled.
You didn't come for the feast of ants.
Yes, how dare you?
Yeah, I went to this ant hill.
Yes.
And I put a stick inside of it, and I got this whole stick filled with ants, and you didn't even bother to show up.
Is that orangutans?
I guess.
They'd have to eat a hell of a lot of ants.
Yeah, well.
I'm traumatized by the one I saw in D.C. I just remember it looking at me and being like, you. They're huge. They could crush our heads like a grape.
No kidding.
You know?
But they're good moms.
Yeah, but they're good moms.
Polar bears are good moms, too.
Really?
Yeah, they're attentive polar bear mothers usually give birth to twin cubs.
Mm-hmm. That I've seen in the documentary.
They stick around for about 2 years to learn all the survival skills.
I like the idea of them sticking around. Like, I'm going to blow this. I'm going to blow this ice flow.
Yeah.
Real soon.
Mothers den by digging into deep snowdrifts. And that's where they live. I mean, that's so temporary.
Yeah, I know. Not a lot of homemaking.
Yeah.
Or long-term homemaking.
Yeah, and they really take good care of the cubs, keeping them warm and healthy by using their body heat and milk.
Yeah, okay. And this is amazing. I think, doesn't every animal mother in nature try to keep their kids alive?
Well, no, because a lot of them will eat their young or just like fuck off, right?
Yes. You're right.
You know, they're not sticking around. They could stick around for a week and they go if they're...
There's some kind of fish, I think I saw a nature documentary about, where when there's danger, the little fish swim into the mother's mouth.
Oh, that's nice.
But then one day, there's danger, some decide not to swim into the mother's mouth. I don't know if they got a note, if someone was like, yo, she doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And the ones that swim in then get eaten.
Really? You don't know the day nor the hour.
You don't know the day nor the hour.
The African elephant.
Okay.
Elephants are great because they live in a matriarchal society.
Yeah, and they're very wise. They also can put the smack down on hunters, as we've seen in the past.
They're so awesome that way. The other females in the group help a calf to its feet after birth to show the baby how to nurse.
Boy, you better get up off this.
Get up on your feet.
Yeah, and get moving.
And the older elephants adjust their pace of the herd so the calf can keep stride.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Cheetahs. Cheetah mothers raise their young in isolation. And
I don't need help from anybody.
And they move their litter every 2 to 5, usually 2 to 5 cubs, mm-hmm. every 4 days to prevent a buildup of smell that predators can track.
Oh, okay.
So that's moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's not because they didn't pay rent and they have a gambling problem.
And then after 18 months of training as hunters, the cheetah cub finally takes a hike.
It fucks off.
Yeah.
It ceases sticking around.
Then the emperor penguin.
Oh, I love a penguin.
But after laying an egg, the mother penguin leaves it to the male who protects the fragile hard shell from the elements.
Yeah, they pass it to him and they're like, peace out.
Yeah, and then she travels up to 50 miles to reach the ocean and fish.
Okay.
Brings said fish back and regurgitates it to the chick.
So the father has it most of the time.
Yeah, but couldn't they live closer to the ocean?
I think about that sometimes, too, when I see these documentaries. I'm like, not to be rude. And I know you've developed this habit over millennia, yeah, and this is, you know, evolution. But, mm-hmm, you know, if you could just cover half the distance.
Yeah.
Right? Just move 25 miles closer.
Oh, we like the country.
Yes, we like. There's more room out here, you know. All right. So animal.
Yeah, that's it.
Barnyard mother. So I was searching for Mother's Day gifts.
Yeah.
And I found this one thing that I thought was quite interesting and ridiculous. It's called it's glass ceiling. What? It is, I'll show it to you. It's a pendant. It's a necklace. Mm-hmm. It actually has a piece of cracked glass in it, and then there's a metal ring around it. And this is supposed to represent cracking the glass ceiling. I think it's a bit on the nose with this.
Yeah, it's a little too depressing,
yeah, it
right?
says, an unofficially acknowledged barrier to advancement in a profession, especially affecting women and members of minorities.
Members of minorities?
Members of, this is like a marketing fail, copy fail. But yeah, it's literally a piece of cracked glass. I don't like that.
No.
It's weird. If someone gave that to me, I'd be like, you know what? Fuck you.
And you wear it around your neck?
Yeah,
like,
to
like
remind myself that I cracked that. Like, first of all, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay. So I need to get cracking.
Yeah, I need to. At this point, I can't even see the glass ceiling. It looks dirty and dingy from here.
Yeah.
But yeah, here you go for your mom. All right. And then I found this. Happy Mother's Day. 8 toxic patterns in mother-daughter relationships. So we all know that it doesn't always go rosy for a mother and daughter, right? There's often beef. But this person has come up with 8 different ways that the beef can be served, I guess, or prepared. I don't know. I failed on that metaphor.
You did pretty
good. I'm sorry. I tried.
If there's beef to dish out,
yes,
here's 8 ways. Yes. You can try it.
This way is crumbled.
Okay.
This is number one, that being dismissive, right? The dismissive mother. The woman, they interview people. My mother ignored me. If I did something that I thought would make her proud, she would either dismiss it as insignificant or undercut it in some other way. And I believed her for the longest time. So dismissive mothers. What do you think this comes from? We're going to diagnose this.
This comes from a whole thing called the mother wound, which I will get to next after this. But let's talk about all these different.
The mother wound.
The mother wound. Okay. Yes.
I feel like that's something that has to have a colon after, like the mother wound, colon, in the woods. I don't know, something. All right.
But there's a whole reason for this to happen. And
you're going to tell us?
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. You're
going
to drop a nugget now? Okay.
Yeah.
Dismissive behavior as reported by daughters. I like that.
Oh, my God.
5 out of 10 daughters say.
Mother is dismissive.
This occurs across the spectrum and can be combative if the mother actively and aggressively turns dismissal into rejection. So don't push it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got an A+ and she doesn't care. Don't push it.
Yeah. It's like
it's going to get ugly.
Confront it.
Yeah. She's going to call up the teacher and be like, you need to lower that grade. My daughter's not that bright.
Yeah.
You know how Anne is.
Yeah. And you're just going to go right to her head. We don't need that.
Yeah, we don't need that around here.
Yeah.
We're a simple people. Human offspring, also known as children, are hardwired to seek and need proximity to their mothers.
Yeah.
Therein lies the problem. Because it makes sense. You're like, this person, you know, is the only motherfucker around. They've been feeding me since day one, albeit it's not that great.
Yeah.
But it's still here.
It's still, I don't know how to get this.
No one else seems to care about me.
I have no money.
Yeah, I have no money. Other people just leave the house.
Yeah.
The daughter's need for mother's attention isn't diminished by the mother's dismissal. This always, I wish we could teach children to be like, hey, if you're not getting it from there, just forget about it.
I know.
It's so sad.
It is really hard because if you want that attention, if you don't get it, it hurts.
But yeah.
Yeah, because... Well, again, I'll get into the mother wound.
Yeah. I'm not, I mean, I was a little as weird as a kid. I was like, can y'all please leave me alone?
Yeah.
Please, everybody.
Enough attention. I don't need all your love.
Yeah, it's like, no one's talking to me for 2 hours. I'm like, could you just give me one more hour? It can amp up the need. Mm-hmm. So the more you try to get, you know, attention from this mother, the less attention you're going to get. And the more you crave the attention.
Right.
You know, then you start asking.
Yes, because you show the need and they're like, oh, this is what they want. I'm
not
giving it.
They're feeding off of it.
You give little tiny crumbs of attention that you gobble up.
Yeah.
And then it's like this sick game.
It's over.
Yeah.
So and it becomes into a pattern of, why don't you care about me? Why do you ignore me? Or a plan to fix the situation. I'll get all A's in school or win a prize, and then she'll love me for sure. Mm-hmm. I had some friends who were always trying to get their parents' attention this way. And I'm like, first of all, your parents are dicks.
Yeah.
They're so wrapped up in themselves. Fanny, forget it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Listen, yeah.
You know?
It's not going to.
Please yourself.
It's not going to change until they address.
Imagine, I sometimes think about that. Imagine how they treat other people.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but I'm sure that they don't treat other people well. But also it's just that dynamic. When you have somebody who wants something from you, you're either going to be like a generous, overall kind person and mm-hmm. not use that as a weapon.
Yeah. Or you're going to weaponize it.
You're going to weaponize it for your own sick pleasure or to get
so leverage.
Bizarre.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, cause I've worked with kids a lot when I give a lot of attention when I'm teaching classes mm-hmm. because I don't want that dynamic. Mm-hmm. Are they ever going to impress me? No, but I act as if they are mm-hmm. right. Cause that's what you do as a teacher.
Yeah.
How impressed can I be that you capitalized your name? But like, I'm going to give you praise for it because, you know, let's not set up a weird thing here with the dismissive.
Yes.
All right. So the second one is unavailable.
Oh, God.
Just easy. Just simply not around.
I just have that time blocked out. Yes. Going dark.
I'm going dark Monday through Friday. If you want to have a conversation with me, do it Saturday between the hours of 3 and 4.
And that's
it. When I'm mothering.
Yeah.
That's my time. A daughter writes, my mother wasn't mean, but she was emotionally disconnected from me and still is.
Mm.
These behaviors can include lack of physical contact, which I enjoyed, the mm-hmm. lack of physical contact. I was like, please don't hug me.
Yep.
Please don't pinch my cheek.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, can you go into the other living room?
Yeah.
This is too close.
I took the arm of somebody who was, you know, like, a young girl who I knew. And mm-hmm. She was recoiled. And she said, oh, no, it's only you. I thought it was my mother. She was like, it's okay that it's you, but she didn't want to touch her own mother. She's like, get off.
That's crazy. Like, was the mom there to see it? Because that's the best.
Yeah.
Well, she played it up a bit. Oh, my God, I can't forgot to. Oh, it's Katie.
Yeah, it's okay.
Phew, I thought you were my mother. Oh, hi, Mom. I've seen this in my building. There are two girls in my building, and I don't know the mom that well, but I know she's a nice person. They were having a lovely conversation. I could hear them from where I was coming from around the corner. As soon as I turned the corner and saw them, one daughter threw herself on the floor and was like, don't beat me, and started rolling around. Worst performance I've ever seen. But I was like, really? And her mom just looked at me, and we were like, yeah, okay. Whenever you're done with that work there. Whenever you're done with that piece, you can get up off the floor.
This performance art that you're doing.
It was
terrible.
And her sister, I think they're twins, was just looking at her like, ugh, really? Again? All right, so unavailable. Here's another one. Enmeshed.
Oh, this enmeshment. You never heard of enmeshed?
No, I've never.
Oh,
enmeshed.
Yes.
Is this like, what is the codependent? Is that enmeshed?
It is.
Give me enmeshed. Show me enmeshed.
Enmeshed. All right. Let's see.
I feel like if I direct something, I want to say, give me enmeshed.
It's
show
a
it to
really
me.
Tough one to realize that you're in when you're in it.
So it says that the daughter's need for love and attention facilitates, and this is one of the best terms ever for parenting, a maternal chokehold.
Yeah, right.
Exploiting human nature in the service of another goal. These women are classic stage mothers and live through their children's achievements, which they both demand and encourage. Well, they have had a long history. So this is Gypsy Lee Rose, mother, Judy Garland's mother, and Frances Farmer's mother come to mind. They now have a special renown for reality TV. So I guess we like this mother, right?
Yeah.
The mother that forces the child to
do
something and then becomes famous for pushing the child because the child succeeds.
Right.
Right? The child's fucked up, but, you know.
Yes. It's this kind of a thing where you don't know where the other one ends and begins. And
it's bizarre. Enmeshed.
Yeah.
Enmeshed.
Yeah, well, again, we'll talk about all this in the wound
okay.
sequence.
I think that sounds like a novel, like Enmeshed, like the Rebecca Forlorn series. Enmeshed, too. All right, so combative. We all know what that is, open warfare.
Yeah.
Just open, hand-to-hand combat.
Two rams butting their heads together.
Locked shields.
Yeah.
Unreliable. I didn't know that was a... I think it's just a, unreliable.
Unreliable
yes,
mother.
Yes, just unreliable mother.
Yeah, oh God. The ones that may or may not pick you up from
yeah,
school.
They may or may not. I definitely had some friends whose moms are like, on the unreliable. And then the other moms were like, well, we'll take you home.
Yeah.
Those are the kids that are like, hey, Mr. C, can I get a sandwich?
Come on in.
Yeah, come on in. Or they just, I have a friend who was telling me that.
There's always a place for you at the table.
I had a friend tell me that she moved into a new neighborhood. She was living there for a while. Her son made friends with the kid next door. Next thing she knows, the kid's just coming on in, getting himself some milk. She's like, my son's not even here. He's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Just thirsty.
Yeah, because they know they're like,
there's milk here.
This house has the good food.
Yeah. And this house has milk, and I'm just going to go in and get it. The self-involved and narcissistic mom, we know what this is. And then role reversed. These are always weird.
The narcissistic moms, those are the ones where everything is about them.
Yes.
And they turn everything into stories about them.
So this is unlike the enmeshed mother, mother's enmeshed, who is intently and smotheringly focused on the child. This mother carefully controls her involvement as it suits her own self-reflection. Yep. A power player and capable of empathy, concerned with appearances and the opinions of others. Her emotional connection to her daughter is superficial.
Yep.
Although she would fiercely deny it because the focus is on herself. What about me? What about me? My child is a narcissist. Yes. Everyone stop talking about her. Yeah. Jeez. Why is everyone looking at her on stage? It's me. It's me.
She wouldn't have gotten up there if it weren't for me.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll take a bow right now.
You know what? I'm not a narcissist. I'm enmeshed, damn it. Role reversed. So this is the child becomes the caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few thoughts. Okay, those are all of them. A few thoughts is not one of the categories.
Yes.
A few thoughts is how they put it. Oh, I forgot also controlling.
Oh, God.
As well. Aren't these fun? Enmeshed is my new vocabulary word now. How can I use that in other ways? So
we'll go. Yeah, let's go.
Let's hear about the wound.
There's a thing called the mother wound.
That's O-U-N-D.
Yes.
Okay.
So, a lot of people don't realize that this is the core of the problem between these mother-daughter relationships.
Okay.
And it is kind of the result of living in a patriarchal society.
Nice. Yes. That's always good. Always fun. Good times.
Okay. So the difficulty and challenges between mother and daughters are rampant and widespread, as you quoted.
Both. Rampant and widespread. They're all over the place, and they're coming for you.
And it's taboo to speak about the pain of the mother wound.
Is it?
Yes.
I feel like everyone's always talking about how their mom is a pain in the ass.
Yes. Yeah, but people really, it's like, so they say, what is the mother wound?
Mm-hmm.
It is the pain of being a woman passed down through generations of women in a patriarchal culture.
Okay.
It includes the dysfunctional coping mechanisms that are used to process the pain. So.
Then there's no way to get out of this one either. Because if you are a woman.
Well, it's.
And then you have a daughter.
Yeah.
And you're living in a patriarchal society.
Well, guys can have it too.
You know.
Guys can
from
have
the
it
mother?
Too. Yeah.
Like, okay.
The mother wound includes the pain of comparison. So not feeling good enough. Mm-hmm. Shame. A consistent background sense that there's something wrong with you.
Good Lord. Maybe I should have been born in a test tube. This sounds rough.
Attenuation. Feeling you must remain small in order to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And persistent.
Ooh, not in my family.
Persistent sense of guilt for wanting more than you currently have.
Okay.
So the mother wound can manifest as not being your full self because you don't want to threaten others.
Yeah. You don't want to look big.
Yeah. Having a high tolerance for poor treatment from others.
Hmm.
Emotional caretaking of other people constantly.
Okay.
Feeling competitive with other women.
Maybe I came out of a test tube.
self-stab is sabotage.
Okay, no, I got that one. All right.
Being overly rigid and domineering, mm-hmm. and conditions such as eating disorders, depression, and addictions.
From your moms? Wow.
You get this all from your mom.
Thanks a lot. Happy Mother's Day.
So in our patriarchal, male-dominated culture, women are conditioned to think of themselves as less than and not deserving or worthy.
Yeah, I got, yeah. Now it seems like that's passing on to men as well, so equality.
Yeah, but it's internalized. So like, the patriarchy can tell you, you're not worth it, and you'll be like, it's like, yeah, I'm not worth it.
And then you pass it on to your, hey, then, little Terry, yeah, you're not worth it either.
Yeah, so don't. Stay small.
That's how I'm going to start my, I'm going to end my conversation with people. Instead of saying goodbye, see you later. Stay small.
Yeah, this is where, so if a daughter internalizes her mother's unconscious beliefs, which are a subtle form of I'm not good enough, then she has her mother's approval. All right. So Ooh. The daughter has to act in all those ways, be mm-hmm. self-sabotaging, you know, be fail at things.
And then the daughter has to do it.
The daughter has to do that in order to get the approval of the mother.
This sounds awful.
And if you actually are successful at something or you have self-worth, mm-hmm. then you don't have the approval of the mother and you don't get your mother's love. So now you're stuck. Either do you develop as a person and mm-hmm. have a full life?
Or do you let Joan Crawford be your mom?
Yeah, or do you accept, this is a lot of women accept poor treatment from men, mm-hmm. from other people, again, self-sabotage, are competitive with other women. You don't be your full self because you don't want to threaten other people because you need your mother's love. What is more powerful?
Good grief.
Right?
Who knows?
Right. So that's
horrifying.
Yeah. So Ooh. These are all, and what you were talking about, all the manifestations.
Yeah.
Of this thing that is going on. So if you don't internalize your mother's beliefs in her own limitations.
Mm-hmm. You get a chance to make up your own?
She sees it as a rejection. So if you
I would say so, yeah.
your mother's beliefs and she's mm-hmm. upset.
As we all do. Whatever they are.
So you don't want to risk losing your mother's love and approval. So now you do the same thing and you're suffering, but you're being loyal to the mother.
It's a tough one, though, because I feel like I grew up with a lot of people who weren't really impressed with their moms. Mm-hmm. And as a result, tried to use their mother's lives as like a cautionary tale and mm-hmm. go way in the other mm-hmm, direction. Mm-hmm. But now I see how this could be hurtful to the mom, because the mom is probably like, well, I did all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I got married and I, had a family and mm-hmm. I got like a regular job and I, did this. And my daughter, in doing something completely opposite of it, is basically saying, your life is trash.
Yes.
And you're
then,
trash.
And then it, because when a daughter is successful, it may unconditionally, kind of, the mother gets a sense of this. The daughter senses that her full empowerment may trigger her mother's sadness or rage at having to give up parts of herself.
Rah, you CEO! How dare you!
Yeah, so the mother now sees, just like you were saying, that the daughter is successful, and she's like, I never did this.
Yeah.
I gave in to the patriarchy.
Probably doing what her mother did. So there'll mm-hmm. be a huge difference, especially for women who are our age, in what we... So what our grandmothers... experience mm-hmm. or which is what our mothers maybe tried to emulate mm-hmm. is so radically different from the situations that we were going to encounter mm-hmm. in our lives as like women growing up, that there's a huge chasm there.
Yeah.
So if a mother is trying to be like a grandmother, but then the daughter doesn't want to be anything like the grandmother through the eyes of the mother too. That's fucked up.
So think of the woman of today who mm-hmm. is out there working.
Today's woman. Today. I guess she's the one throwing a beret in the air.
So not only is she trying to separate herself from her own mother's expectations, if she's got this woman who, if her mother has the mother wound to mm-hmm. whatever degree she has it, so she has to negotiate her mother's love and risk her mother's rage.
Yeah.
And then on top of that.
That's the book right there. Mother's Love, Mother's Rage. Enmeshed.
Yeah.
The Enmeshed Chronicles.
On top of that, now she has to go live in the world that's a patriarchal.
Yeah. With all these issues, other broads who are dealing with the mother wound.
Right. On top of that. And so you may get these women who are really competitive and kind of like, go old school on you. And then you get guys out there.
Who are also, okay. So what are they getting? Is there a wound for them as well?
They get a mother wound too, okay. But we're not talking about that right now.
A father wound?
There's a father wound.
That's a great band name. Father Wound. Yeah, that's a death metal band name if ever I heard one. Father Wound.
So you're trying to escape this.
Mm-hmm. Run.
And then still try to have some kind of relationship.
Yeah, you can't always do that, though.
But then there's a couple of stereotypes that perpetuate the mother wound. And one, okay. It's when other people say, look at everything your mother did for you.
Huh? I know, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
That's the worst. Because you know your relationship with your mom. You know all these
Nobody
things
else
that go
does.
On. They're like, look at what she did for you.
No, I think maybe cameras will change that in the future. But like, really? Computer, pull up. Yeah. Beating 18. Right.
Yeah. Right. And then there's another one where my mother sacrificed so much for me. I would be so selfish to do what she could not do. I don't want to make her feel bad.
Oh.
You know? So it's like.
So I'm not going to achieve.
Because.
I don't want her to feel bad.
Yeah. And
this is so weird. My mom was always like, you had better do better than me. Right? Yeah. Like.
I owe loyalty to my mother no matter what. If I upset her, she will think I don't value her. So these are all these conversations.
Yeah, I don't care about any of these things. I have a heart of stone. Sorry, people. You know where I stand if you've heard this podcast. I'm like, whatevs.
So mothers,
I'll find another mother.
Yeah, the mothers feel threatened by dreams and ambitions. She may fear uncomfortable feelings from her mother, such as envy and anger.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. I feel like, I mean, I don't have kids, but I feel like I would be happy if my daughter was doing well and better than me. I would hope that she would do better than me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what the hell?
Because you have done either, you have not absorbed, or you've seen the patriarchy early. And
yeah.
You see it for what it is.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
Also, I'm black, so I'm like, a lot of these things.
Yeah. So, but the truth is, like, there's nothing that a daughter can do.
No.
To make her mother react one way or the other.
No, there's nothing you can do.
Yes.
Remember, these people were fully formed before you even got into the picture.
Yeah. No child can save her mother. No sacrifice a daughter makes will be enough to compensate.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it is.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Yes.
As I would say, forget about it.
But then a lot of women, they do this, make this decision early that they're going to try to do something to save their mother. And this is all unconscious.
How are you going
to
save your mother? That's so bizarre.
So this is where the wound is really festering.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought growing up, like, I got to get out of here. That's my attitude towards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you're a child, and then you're like, your goal is to just get away from your parents.
Yeah.
Right? So they could, probably because they were saying, get the hell out of here. But, like, to move on with your life, and not really to dwell too much on what your parents think about you.
Yeah, it's...
Right?
Yeah.
Because who has time?
I know.
Right?
I know. I mean, that's great.
You got to move on, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's easier, though, when you physically move away.
Yeah.
From your parents as well. It's a little bit more difficult if you're in the same place with them, and so you're in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can't, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
The mother wound.
Yeah. So, but also now there's society's unspoken messages to mother, which is, if motherhood is difficult, then it's your fault.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, nobody told you to have these kids.
Yeah, shame on you if you're not superhuman. Like, you know, it's set up not to be good for mothers. Like, our culture is not good for mothers.
I feel like at a certain point, it must have been easier for them. I feel like it's getting worse. I feel like mothers have more obligations now than ever. Like, they're constantly piling more and more things on them.
I think so, too.
That's why wine
is
so popular.
There are natural mothers from whom motherhood is easy. And if you're not one of these, there's something wrong with you.
There's some unnatural mothers out there. So unnatural mothers up in this piece. Natural mothers.
Yeah, you're supposed to be capable of handling it with ease, having well-behaved children, being sexually attractive, and having a successful career and a solid marriage.
I think keep them alive. That's why I always tell them every year that when your kid has a birthday, I say, you did a good job. Yeah. They're still here.
Yeah.
They're still here.
Yeah, so for a child who needs her mother, sacrificing herself in effort to somehow ease her mother's pain is a subconscious decision made early in life. And it's not discovered until much later when she's an adult, hence all those issues that we're talking about.
I wonder if there are any daughters out here that are like, I'm going to make this bitch's life hell, like as soon as they come out.
Yeah, so... There's no safe place for mother to vent her rage either. So
the internet, the internet. I guarantee you, there's a seedy underbelly,
yeah,
of the internet where moms are like,
Yeah, and it's, even though a mother, like, the daughter is such a potent target for a mother's rage, because the daughter has not yet given up her personhood for motherhood. And the young daughter may remind her mother of the unlived potential she had. And
bitch, you could have done something. But instead, me.
And if the daughter feels worthy enough to reject some of the patriarchal mandates that the mother has had to swallow, then she can trigger that underground rage for the mother.
I wonder, though, how many mothers want their daughters to be like them. That seems to me a strange impulse. Unless you were just so awesome. And you know what I mean? You have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up hearing a lot of moms say stuff like, you know, don't be like me. Mm-hmm. Like, you ever hear people like, don't be like me, right? Like, I didn't, not that they were saying, I'm sad that I had you as a child, but they were like, look, I didn't make all the right decisions in my life. I wanted to go to school, or like, I wanted to get out of this town or whatever. So there are those moms. And then there were the other moms who were just real quiet and never said anything about stuff. Yeah. And I wonder if those are the ones who are like, I'm just going to pretend like this is okay and expect my daughter to kind of, you know, like, see how well this is going for me. But yeah, we saw all kinds of. I wonder how this changes for moms of different situations. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a single mom versus a married mom versus a divorced mom versus a two-mom household or like upper class, middle class. Like, I wonder how it breaks down, or is this, you know?
I think this is about every individual woman and her own way of dealing with the patriarchy and
how that gets processed.
How awake she is and how much she has to have played into it to survive. And how much, like, does she really believe, or how much has she gone along with and is like, yeah, I know I have to, like, let the boss rub my shoulders for the raise.
I have to stay small.
Yeah, or whatever it is, and hates it, and it just, and it can acknowledge that it's happening, versus I deserve to have my ideas taken away from me, because I am not that great, and only my male boss can carry my idea to fruition.
And then that filters down.
Yeah, because I'm not that great. And what do you think you're, you know?
It's, yeah.
It's the awareness.
Yes, it's that, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are that you can have this?
Can go and enjoy yourself.
Right.
And life. Who are you? And feel good about yourself.
Right.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. The mother wound. Is it
a
book?
The mother wound. There's a ton of articles about it.
So it's a thing.
Feel free. It's a whole, a thing. And it would be, it's something to think about, and guys have it too. And it can cripple a man.
Bring him to his knees.
Yeah. And nobody needs that. So we're all walking around being wounded by this.
Because it's coming down the pipeline.
Coming down the pipeline to everybody, and to at varying degrees.
Stay away from your moms. Don't listen to them.
Because we've all had to absorb some patriarchy to survive.
We're swallowed every day. Just rinse it down with some racism.
And so the cost of
classism.
So there's ways to heal it, and there's ways to deal with it, and you can look those up online.
Yes.
Hopefully you'll
I feel
get
like
good
next to this, Google has put like wine.
Yeah, really.
Foot rubs.
Yeah.
Have you thought about going back to school?
So the cost of not healing the mother wound is you're going to live indefinitely with
you're gonna live indefinitely
with the idea that there's something wrong with you, never actualizing your potential, without a fear of failure or disapproval, having weak boundaries and an unclear sense of who you are, not feeling worthy or capable of creating what you truly desire.
So nothing good is what it sounds like.
Not feeling safe enough to take up space and voice your truth. Arrange your life around not rocking the boat. Self-sabotage when you get close to a breakthrough. And unconsciously waiting for mother's permission or approval before claiming your own life.
Wow.
So, worth looking into.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never understood. I had some friends who were really small, and they're really into it. I'm like, small sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I could sweep you aside.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, small's not where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
No. You don't want to live small. And it's hard. It's hard because, like, sometimes you'll be really empowered at work, and another woman is like, look at her. She thinks
she's
what
she
great.
Thinks she's doing.
And it's like,
bring it over here, B. We'll see what small's all about. It's about to get.
So yeah, the mother wound.
The mother wound.
Enmeshed. Up everybody.
Enmeshed. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Don't get enmeshed.
Yes.
Definitely stay away from that. So these are some of the best Mother's Day movies. They are not Hallmark TV originals, so I apologize for not bringing them in, but these are still really good. And some of them I've seen. Maybe you've seen some of them too. Joy Luck Club.
Yes, Joy Luck Club.
I remember people made a big deal about this movie because there were Asian people in it. And I'm like, you know what? Because they're Asian people.
Yeah. Right.
So it's based on Amy Tan's best-selling novel of the same name, which I didn't read because I only read genre.
Right.
Like,
of course you
Yeah. Do. The film tells the story of four women born in China who make their way to America. As they adapt to their new home, they make some tough decisions, some mistakes, and they raise daughters caught between the two cultures.
Right.
There's a narrator, June, who heads to China after her mother's death, and as she and her friends look back at their mother's lives, the difference between their worlds becomes more and more clear. The result will make you bawl.
Oh, I was crying during this.
Really? It's a beautiful movie.
It really, no, because they examine all these relationships between these mothers and daughters.
Is there a meshment?
There's a meshment. There's all kinds of things going on.
Dismissiveness, whatever.
But there's one daughter who has a beef with her mother because mm-hmm. she's like, you never told me that I had a sister. I had a twin sister.
What?
And
That's awful.
And I found her. And she's here in America. And what did you do? You left her back in China? How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
You never told me and you left her behind.
What time period was this?
I forget the time period.
Is this under one child policy? You can only have one child?
No, but there was the war.
Okay.
And then they flash to, and they do the whole flashing back to what their mothers went through.
It's like a Sophie's Choice.
And the mother told the story of how their village was completely under attack in the war, and everybody was dying. It's this whole giant war scene.
Wow.
And there was no food. Everyone got sick. She had dysentery, the mother, and she had her twins in a wheelbarrow. And she is sick and wheeling the kids out of the village down the road, trying mm-hmm. to find a place for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dying. She's so sick, the mother.
Because of the famine.
Because of, yeah, and, disease, and the war, yeah, the disease, war, yeah. and the injuries and all of that. And she's trying to get them as far away from this whole destructive scene as possible.
Did the daughter feel really small after all that?
And she was like, the mother couldn't go a step further and was dying. And so she went to a tree and put the wheelbarrow under the tree
mm-hmm.
with clothing, jewelry, money, anything, and a note saying, please, whoever takes this money, take my daughters and make
wow.
them safe.
That's awesome.
And she passed out. Somebody took the babies.
Uh-huh.
And they ended up split up in the orphanage.
So why didn't the mother say anything, though?
Because
too traumatic?
Yeah. And so she was reunited with the one door, whatever. And
wow.
The other one was
spoiler
gone.
Alert from a movie from like the 90s.
Crying.
That sounds awful.
It's really good.
I don't read books like this, and I don't watch movies like this because of my heart made of coal. I prefer like a mystery.
Yeah.
Or like sci-fi. So Postcards from the Edge.
Oh, this is a great one.
Oh, I think I read this. This is Carrie Fisher.
This is
right?
Carrie Fisher writing about her relationship with her mother.
Yes.
Which is Debbie Reynolds, which is
great. Like yeah. this Postcards from the Edge. And then there's another one. Isn't there like Delusions of Grandma?
I think so.
They go with it as well. So Meryl Streep stars as Suzanne Vale, an up and coming star. This is a great movie.
Yeah.
And probably a great book. No, I did read this book. Okay. An up-and-coming star whose career ground to a halt during drug addiction. After a stint in rehab, she ends up with her mother as her caretaker.
Yeah.
The film was adapted by Carrie Fisher from her own novel and wrestles with the complicated but loving relationship between an actress and her movie star mom. I like this movie because even though there was a lot of confrontation between them, I felt that the Debbie Reynolds character
mm-hmm.
really loved her daughter
yes.
and was trying to do her best. Carrie Fisher was fucked up. Let's
yeah.
be honest. Like, she was going through some shit.
Yeah, she had all kinds of, she had mental illness. Happening,
mental health issues, drug, all kinds of things going on.
But her mother was overbearing.
Yeah, and but also her mom was a Hollywood star. So it's like, how could you not be?
Yeah.
I've had a couple of friends whose parents were, I had one friend whose mom was actually a soap opera star. And I was like, I can't even be in the room.
Yeah, really?
Like, it was too much for me. You know what I mean? Because everything had to, I mean, she's literally a drama queen.
Yeah.
Literally a drama queen.
A drama
Everything
queen.
Had to be about her. Secrets and Lies. Huh?
Secrets and Lies is a movie about this woman, a black woman who was adopted, and she went to find her birth mother, who was white.
Huh?
Yeah.
She didn't know she was.
And she didn't know. And they examine this whole thing and the whole story behind. It's a great movie.
I have to say, written and directed by Mike Lee. Wow. Okay. That must be really good. You could have knocked me over with a feather. If someone was like, you know what, I'm going to show you who your real father
yeah.
is, and it's like a white dude, I'd be like, well, I have to rethink everything now.
Yeah.
And I want some money. and yeah. I want my credit score higher right now. All right, so Steel Magnolias, this is the white version, because I think they also redid it with Latifah.
Yeah.
Steel Magnolias, a beauty shop, is a sacred space for many women. I didn't know that white women were into beauty shops until I saw this movie. And I was like, oh, you guys hang out there too.
I like this movie because Dolly Parton's in it. I like Dolly Parton.
Who doesn't
like
Dolly Parton? Also, Olympia Dukakis, come on.
Yeah.
Give it up for her. Unfortunately, Julia Roberts is in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's awful.
And spoiler alert, I think her character gets sick and dies. Yeah, and I was like, why didn't that happen in Act 1?
I know. But it's the idea of the mother watching her daughter die.
Daryl Hannah is in it, looking weird.
Looking unattractive, and everyone laughs because she's so pretty, really.
Yeah, really, I guess. She doesn't look like a horse at all. Yeah. Definitely not in this movie, and definitely neither does Julia Roberts. So Steel Magnolias. And then this one.
This is a great mother's movie. This is awesome.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I actually like this movie. I think this is a badass single mother protecting her teenage son from time-traveling robots who want to kill him before he can save the world. I mean, come on.
There
that's a mother.
That's a
doing
mother.
What mothers do.
She got in shape.
Yes.
And she was ready
she
to
was
fight.
She was hard as fuck. Amazing.
She didn't get in denial. She didn't stick her...
She just goes right in there.
She's like, look, this... And everyone's like, you're so weird.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm a mother. Step aside.
Yeah.
And then also Terms of Endearment. Okay, so I'll tell you a little story about Terms of Endearment. I was not having a good day.
Oh, no.
This was years ago. I took off a day from work, and I was like, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to eat ice cream and, you know, just sit here and relax.
You didn't.
And I need to cheer up a little bit. Terms of Endearment.
Yeah, comes on.
I'm like, oh, I've heard about this. It's Shirley MacLaine.
Who is awesome. I love Shirley MacLaine.
And Deborah Winger. But I, for some bizarre reason, thought that it was Postcards from the Edge. That's what I was thinking.
That's a thing that I think, too. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Terms of Endearment, Postcards from the Edge was what I was thinking. So I put this movie on. And
well, they're both Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, it totally goes south. So it says, grab the tissues, which is what I did not do. Shirley MacLaine stars as Aurora, first-generation helicopter mom to her daughter, Emma, Deborah Winger. What happened to Deborah Winger?
That's a whole other story.
Okay. Over the course of 30 years, Emma and Aurora battle about everything and everything, but their arguments don't interfere with their deep love and attachment. And then does she get cancer, the daughter?
The daughter gets cancer. And this is at the time when cancer, nobody ran a 5K for it.
Yeah.
It was a very...
You
died, and it was a thing that people didn't want to talk about. Yeah. It was taboo. It was a shame.
You whispered it.
You whispered cancer.
Mm-hmm. Like you used to whisper African-American.
Yeah.
It was that horrifying to people. So I watched this movie and I broke down in tears.
You will cry because there's a scene
where she
has to talk to her kids and say goodbye.
I called my mom and was like, hey, I was having a really bad day and I watched Terms of Endearment. She's like, what were you thinking? Why would you watch that? She was like, really? Terms of Endearment?
Yeah.
You? I was like, yeah, Terms of Endearment. So these are some great Mother's Day films.
Yes.
And now for something completely different.
Now something different here. Okay. So.
That I'm excited about. I cannot wait.
One can't say the word mother without saying.
Motherfucker.
That's right.
So we're going to talk where this word comes from. The sweet MF.
Yeah. So the word. So there's a lot of controversy of where it started.
Mm-hmm. And it's a noun, but it can also be used as a gerund.
Yeah.
To just, you know.
So it dates back to at least the late 19th century. And in 1889 Texas murder case, a witness testified that the victim had called the defendant a goddamn motherfucking bastardly son of a bitch shortly before his death.
And then it got into the legal record.
Yeah. So. Then it was used, Norman Mailer used it in his novel Naked and the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disguised as motherfugger. F-U-G-G-E-R.
No one knew. To this day, people still wonder.
Right.
It was disguised, cleverly hidden,
and
behind two G's.
In Kurt Vonnegut's movie novel Slaughterhouse-Five, the word is used by one of the soldiers in the story, leading back to, the idea that it's not about children attempting to have intercourse with their mothers or someone.
Yeah, it's not edible.
It's more about the story of like a man who has sex with somebody else, a woman who is in a tight spot.
Really?
Yeah. So economically, who agrees to have sex with a man only out of desperation.
Okay.
So going back to the war thing, it's about this term came people were using it a lot during World War II.
Mm-hmm. I just like to pause and say that a lot of people think that this is an African-American
Yeah, they think it's word, an African-American
but obviously
word.
Not.
Yeah, they said it's popular among Black American GIs who applied literally to... It applies to all American soldiers.
Yeah,
basically, who were in Europe during World War II.
They were using this term.
They were calling each other that. Mm-hmm. These are the guys who would trade food, money, or anything of value for sex with desperately poor people and starving French and German women.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And why mother, though?
Because a lot
these
of
women
them are
who
mothers.
needed
food for their kids,
for their babies.
Yeah, so many women who were homemakers and their husbands had been killed or imprisoned or whatever happened to them, leaving the woman to support the couple's children alone. Many
by prostituting themselves.
Many lacked trade skills, and the war damaged the local economy so badly they had few, if any, alternatives.
Wow!
And so they had to have sex with the soldiers for food or for money for anything to survive. And so calling a man a motherfucker meant that he was taking advantage of a poor, downtrodden people with no options.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right.
And is also incapable of seducing non-desperate women.
I like it.
Yeah.
This word, like now when I use this word, which I do quite a lot, now I will be with more, you know, invective.
Yes. So anyone with experience growing up in desperate poverty or saw that his own parents were humiliated by circumstances beyond his control would probably consider whatever kind of behavior to be a pretty low thing.
Wow.
So if you, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a motherfucker, that's some low shit. Yeah. I like that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And on that note, to all of you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.